Morning. Today's Daf and Kedushin is Daf Tes. We are on Ches Amud Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is Lona Zeech and Ishmas Lipa, Gabriela Bas, Shmuel. We are in Ches Amud Beis, continuing with a series of halachas regarding Kesef Kedushin. Last thing we just touched on in the Gemara was Mashkon. Can a man be Mekadesh a woman with a Mashkon? Promises her a sum of money, doesn't have the money on hand right now. And instead says here, do you know what? Let me hand you something as a collateral against the money that I owe you. So the Gemara's question as to whether or not she's Mekudeshet says she's not. Why Mamon Enkan, Mashkon Enkan? The Gemara's explanation is because she's got nothing. She doesn't have Mamon, she doesn't have Mashkon, the money's not currently here, he promised her. The Mashkon, she knows the Mashkon is going to be taken away from her. So she does not have Smichas Das on the Mashkon. So therefore, at this point in time, she is Ena Mekudeshes. The Gemara says not only is this halacha going to be true regarding a man being Mekayesh a woman, but it's true in terms of other financial transactions as well. A man wants to buy something and promises money as a down payment, but doesn't even have the money, hands something for as a collateral. The Gemara said, once again, if the seller would want to renege on the deal, seller has every right to renege on the deal because there has been no money actually put down on the mashkon. Is not going to be a valid method of creating a kinyan. Tana Rabbanan, we are moving on in the Gemara. He's kachli b'mana. So he offers to be mekadesh with money, and her instructions are nlasa v'zarek l'yam. And her instructions to him is, okay, great. Take the money, throw it into the ocean, or throw it into the fire, or throw it to anywhere where the money is going to get lost and unretrievable. So under those circumstances, Einu Mekudeshes, the Kedushin is not going to be a good Kedushin. Basically, in other words, that's rejection. That's just...
She threw it.
She took it. Yeah. Okay. Good. So she took it and she threw it. And it's as if she said, "I'm not interested." Okay. So the Gemara says, "Wait one second. This example that we just gave over here seems to indicate that it's only her rejection is only if she takes the money and she throws into the fire. Hashadinu kamei have a kedushin." The Gemara says, "Well, let's imagine now the following: hands her the money, she takes it and she throws it right at his feet. That's also not rejection." So the Gemara says, "Akar mele shkil lo beina." So the Gemara says, "Well, basically she's saying, take it, I don't want it." So why is the Brisa, no, it's not a Brisa, yeah, no, I'm sorry, it is a Brisa. Why is the Brisa going and giving what seemingly is a more extreme scenario of her rejection by her throwing it to the fire? She could just throw it in his feet. So the Gemara says, let me buy Kama. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's the style of the Brisa. Let me buy Shadisu Kame de lo have a Kedushin. Avazark to Liyamala or Ema Kevin de Mechaiva Behu Kedushe Kadish Navsha. So the Gemara says, here's what you could have entertained. Here the Havamina goes like this. If she takes the money and throws it right back at his feet, that's rejection. And there's nothing to talk about. She's basically, not basically, she is throwing the money right back at him. And that's called rejection. Okay, that's not a hint. However, if she takes the money and she throws it into the fire, in terms of her personal financial responsibility, she's liable. She just took his money, she just destroyed it. So it may not be the most romantic way of saying I do, but basically it's what she's doing is by creating a chayvus on herself, she's essentially saying, yes, I'll marry you, and the affirmation is that is going to be most identified with the fact that she owes the money. So the Gemara says, that's a havamina. I might have thought. And why did she do something which seemingly is very strange? It was a test. Because everything in life is a test. And this was a test, a direct test from her to him. Wants to see, what's this going to be his reaction when I take his money and throw it in the fire? Or I take his money and I throw it and I throw it in the ocean? I wonder, is he going to get angry? Is he not going to get angry? So it was a test. My advice to her, by the way, not that she's ready to accept it, is that she should have done the test before accepting the Kesef of Kedushin. Okay, in order to see. I'm not sure if now is the most prudent time to test him, but still, the Gemara says, as a havamina, I might have thought that this is all but just a test. But the truth of the matter is that it really is an acquiescence on her part to accept the kes of Kedushin. Ka mashma.
It's a tenai on her. She's like a sort of a tenai. If he becomes angry, it's rejected. If it doesn't, it's accepted.
And, okay, I hear you, but that's reading a lot into her action.
Meaning it's a test. What's a test?
Okay. I understand your thought process. I follow it. Just generally speaking, we have a Tanai. You have to articulate what the Tanai is. Over here, you're okay. Anyway, Kamash Malan. The Gemara says all that. All this is just but a Havamina. But the Maskana is that she rejecting the money, literally rejecting the money, either throwing it at his feet or throwing it somewhere else. The difference, of course, is whether she's liable or not liable. But either way, it's a rejection. And so our suitor is not a married man. Tanai Rabbanan, we continue. In the middle of the Amud. Okay. The Tanur Rabbanan is Kachali Bemana. Tanem La'aba Ula Avicha. So, I want to be Mekadosh you and Amana. Once again, it's a tremendous amount of money. And, right. And Tanem La'aba Ula Avicha. And do me a favor, give it either to either father, or your father, or my father, your father, ainam a kedushas. Okay, so in all those cases, it's not a good kedushin. Why not? Let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi writes, ainam a kedushas ve'ainu dome. I'm sorry, Rashi over here is bothered by a question. You see, over here in our scenario, what ends up happening is that the Gemara we saw just a couple days ago taught us, it was on Zion. Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that she doesn't necessarily have to be the recipient of the money, and yet the Kedushin is going to work. The Gemara on the very top of Zayin Amud Aleph says this operates through what's called the Halachas of Al-Revus. Could be a guarantor. So, as long as she dictates where the money is to go, even though she herself has not received the money, so the Gemara back on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph said that the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Rashi over here is bothered because essentially what just happened over here, seemingly the same thing. He goes over to the woman. He says, "Here, take the money. I'm going to be mikdash with a lot of money. It's going to be a mana. It's a lot of money." And she says, "Give it to my father, or give it to your father." So, after having learned the Gemara and Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, so the conclusion we should have arrived at is, "Oh, the kedushin is about kedushin. She's directing where the money's going to go, and through the hana of an arev, she should be mikdashes." And yet, our Gemara tells us the kedushin is not valid. So Rashi realizes that there's a discrepancy between the two Gemaras, and that's what Rashi is responding to. Now I can say it. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Einu Mekudesh is Rashi. Ve'einu dom le'teiman le'ploni ve'ikad de'shlach. So this is not comparable to the case on Dav Zayinam Aleph. Rashi says for one very simple and basic reason. Da'hasam ihi ka'amre le'mi'ikara. There she's initiating. There she is directing traffic. She's telling the man, "You're going to give the money to so-and-so." That is how you get benefit. Because once somebody's giving money based on your say-so, even if you're not the recipient, but because you are the enabler, you allow that money. You push that money through, so therefore you get a benefit. And that benefit creates a kedushin. Avakan Rashi writes, but here Pashta he. I'm sorry, Meshati bo klamer tema osech la'acherim. But over here, her response is understood with much more sarcasm. Over here, he's saying, "Hey, I want to marry you. I'm going to give you a money. It's going to be a lot of money." And she says, "Okay, give it to your father." Okay, so in other words, so just if you hear that, if you could just picture that scene, you can hear that. So what you're hearing is a lot of sarcasm in her part. Mishatani bach, like, take the money and give it to somebody else.
Can't you assume she's a Nara, and therefore she's saying it?
If she's a Nara, so then the father's going to get the money. He's going to be the address to the money. The Gemara over here is just making the very, very basic point that if she's telling the man, "Give it to so-and-so," that's understood as a sarcasm / rejection of the money.
You hear that Rashi notice in the first case of the Kaddish, she answers, "Okay, give it to somebody and I'll marry you." She say, "I will marry you."
But she initiates. The Gemara and Dav Zion is where she initiates.
She said, "The Kaddish love, and I will marry you."
Right.
But here she didn't.
Okay.
I'm
fine. Okay.
That's a rejection.
That's another way to distinguish. Okay. Yeah. Good. right, let's go on. He's kashuli b'mana tanim la b'lavicha and mikudeshes. Now, amenas she kablanli mikudeshes. Now the Gemara says now, but what if she says amenas? So that's good because now we're looking at it tonight. We're looking at a condition. She says yes, I'll accept it, but with the condition. Okay. Tana abal odicha kocha dereisha, tana avicha odicha kocha desefa. Now the Gemara says, now we have two scenarios. She says, either give it to your father or give it to my father. Why both? Why do we need both scenarios? So the Gemara says, really to illustrate and highlight the strength of each case. Because in the case of the Reisha, where she does not say the words Al Tanai, and she says Abba, meaning my father, Afagav Rashi writes, Afagav Daviyahu, Lo Gamar V'Kitchen Afsha. That's exactly the point. Even though she's directing the money to go to her father, you could have made the argument, well, if my father's going to receive the money, I'm obviously ready for Kiddushin. However, no, that's exactly the point the Bryce is coming to teach us. That because she did not say the word Al-Tanai, it's still understood as sarcasm / rejection, and therefore it's not going to be good. In the second case, where she says Al-Tanai on condition, and even though she says, give it to your father, so she's not getting the money, her father's not getting the money, it's his father getting the money. You could have understood that as sarcasm and rejection. But the fact that she says Al-Tanai is going to indicate that this is in fact a good acceptance of the Kiddushin. Hiskashli b'mana. We are now on the second wide line on Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara continues. Hiskashli b'mana tanim laploni. Okay, and he says, I want to be Mekashi with the money. And her response is, give it to so-and-so. Ain't a Mekadeshis, it's not a good Kiddushin. Once again, that's sarcasm, that's rejection. Amanashi kabam li Mekadeshis. But if she says Amanas, so then the Kiddushin is going to be a good Kiddushin. Tzricha. The Gemara says, and they're both these cases are needed. Because, Diyash minaba ve'vicha hasam hu dechi amra Amanas, she kablam li have a Kiddushin. The Gemara says, so in the case where either the father, her father, his father are going to be the designated recipients of the money, so there's a smichas das. Why? Savra avdelishlu chusai. Because the understanding is that they're going to serve as my shliach, meaning they're interested parties who want to make this marriage happen. So they're going to receive the money on my behalf. She has a certain level of comfort that they're actually going to receive the money on her behalf. Ava ploni lo. But if she is simply points to a third party and she assumes that this person is going to be a shliach, even though she said the word amanas, maybe not. Maybe she does not have enough smichas das. It doesn't provide her the kind of confidence that allows herself to be married. Viyashmi inan ploni. Just one second. Let me just finish. Viyashmi inan ploni. Hachu dechi amra tanim laploni. Lo have a kedushin. Dula mekarve daita lagabe. Lemeitzve le bematana. Ava abba vavicha de mekarve daita lagabayu. Ema bematana yavti niale. Now, the Gemara says, if she did not say amanas, and she just simply directed where the money should go. So again, he initiates. He says, I want to marry you. I'm going to give you a mana. And her response is, give it to so-and-so. So if she identifies just an outsider, a third party, so there you can make the argument, that's sarcasm, that's rejection. But if she designates her father or his father, people who are family members, you could have interpreted her response as, yeah, give him a gift. Give my dad a gift, give your dad a gift, and I'll marry you. They're family members, and it could be understood that this was not sarcasm and this was not rejection. Tzricha, that's why I need both cases. Tanu Rabbanan kashlim b'mana, tanema gabi sela. So, man goes over to a woman and says, I want to be mekarshu and I'm going to give you money. And she says, put it on the rock. Put it on the rock. Okay, and in Mekadeshah, so the Braisa says that in such a scenario, the Kiddushin is not good. V'imhaya sela shalom, Mekadeshah, now if the rock belongs to her, then the Kiddushin is going to be a valid Kiddushin. If you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi writes, why should the Kiddushin be good? Shechatzir shal adam kona, v'arei kemoshe mekabalto. So Rashi over here says, because once the rock is hers, so then it's her chatzir, like we learned back in Gittin, time and again in the 8th parak. So her chatzir serves as her, either her yad or her shli. In other words, but it's an extension of her. It's as if she received it, and therefore it's going to be good. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Tosfos on the very bottom of the Amud says that's not a correct understanding of the Gemara. Can't be. Because as we'll see in just a second, we're going to discuss the scenario where the rock is owned by both of them. joint ownership of the rock? And the Gemara is going to end off by saying, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a teiku. Tosa says, if the issue is chatzer, so right, and it's a question of whether or not a property that's joint owned by both people can serve as your chatzer for kinyan. So Tosus quotes a Gemara in Baba Basra that says that simply is not going to work. Under certain circumstances it will work, but otherwise it won't work. Your chatzer can only be koneh for you if it's yours and exclusively your chatzer. Otherwise it's not going to be koneh for you. So Tosus says, if Rashi is right in his understanding of the Gemara, why would the Gemara not know the answer to a rock that's owned by both parties? Tosus therefore says that the pshat in the Gemara over here has nothing to do with chatzer and kinyan chatzer, but rather it's just a simple question once again of smichas das, her level of comfort. Her level of comfort meaning that, look, like we learned back on Daf Zayin, like we said over earlier this morning, as long as he's parting with his money based on her instruction, that gives her a certain sense of hana'a, benefit, and it provides her the confidence that, yes, I'm going to marry this man. He was ready to give up money for me, even though I didn't become the recipient. That we learned from Arev. And now, it's just a question in the Gemara of, when is she going to have that smichas das? So if she says, just put it on a rock, so that doesn't give her the smichas das. If she says, put it on my rock, so that gives her now smichas das. Tosa says, that is really the issues of the Gemara. To which now we move on to the Gemara, and according to Tosos, we certainly understand now the Gemara's next question. The buyer of Bibi, Selah Shel Shnei Amahu. What if the rock belonged to both of them? Teiku, the Gemara says, good question, and we'll leave this question unresolved. And according to Tosos, the unresolved question is whether or not there is or there isn't smichas das. He's constantly bekikar. He goes over to a woman, he says, look, loaf of bread, I baked it just for you, or I bought it just for you, either way, and I want to be mikashi with this loaf of bread. And her response is, Taneo lekelev. So she says, give that loaf of bread to the dog. Okay, so once again, inu mekudeshes. V'haya kelev shelo mekudeshes. So, if it's a dog that she owned, no? So that's an acceptance. If, however, she points to a dog that's not does not belong to her, that's a rejection. That's sarcasm, that's a rejection. By Rav Mari, kelev ratza chareh hamahu. So now let's say the dog is running after her, and Rashi gives one word to succinctly describe what's going on over here. The dog is about to bite her. And our hero goes ahead and feeds the dog and saves her from being bitten. So ba'una de kamatzla nafshe minei gamra mekanyalei nafshe nafsha. So now, and again, by the way, there was a proposition. It wasn't just all assumed that the bread would serve as a kesef of kedushin, but he propositioned her before, right? It's just I love the scene. You could just it's a little weird. She's running away, and he's running alongside her, and he says, "Yeah, marry me, and I'm going to give you the bread." And you know what? And she says, "Give it to the dog because the dog's about to bite me." He says, "No problem at all." And so there was a proposition, and there was a verbal back and forth between him and her, and then he feeds the dog. So on one hand, so that bread saved her from a bite. And so maybe one can make the argument that, that's her acceptance of the Ketz of Kedushin. Odilma Mati Amarle, the Gemara says, no. She could just simply say to him, look, put our conversation away for just a moment. Ignore what you and I talked about. Mida Raisa Chayuva Mechav De Latzule. You know, you cannot stand by and just watch another Jew get hurt. But the Al Tam Ora Damreacha, you can't stand by. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I mean, we're learning it right now, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Dalad, the Ayin Gimel, the Gemara there in Sanhedrin says that that if you see somebody drowning in the river or whatever, and anyone who is in danger, and you could save them, and there's a discussion in the Rishonim whether or not you have to put your own life at risk in order to save them, but you could save them. You have not only the right but the obligation to save them. So she could just simply say to him, "Look, all of our conversation was wonderful, right? I know you talked marriage. Sounded like I kind of agreed to it. But when all said and done, you had to save me anyway. So this was not a yes to your proposal." Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. He's kashli b'kikar tineu la'ani. Einu mekudeshes. Now, he says to her, I want to be mekadesh with bread. She says, give it to the poor. So, einu mekudeshes, once again, sarcasm / rejection. Afilu ani asamachala. And even if that ani always goes to her. And so basically now, by him giving the ani food, so basically he saved her from having at least one meal to have to give to this ani. So she did get benefit. But still, the Kedushin is not going to be valid. My time, I'm like, Yehechne mechayiv nebei ana hachi mechayiv tebeat. You know, I'm obligated to give tzedakah, but I got news for you. She starts giving him mustar. You're also obligated to give tzedakah. And so that you giving him tzedakah is not a reflection of me, it's a reflection of your obligation that you have to give tzedakah. We're not married.
There's no
Arabs
here?
No. No. Mazbein chomre. Okay, and now our pickup lines of the day. So the our first guy is going to be selling some sort of jewelry. Rashi over here describes a pearl necklace, could be one of Rashi's descriptions.
Boutons.
Is that am I right?
No, boutons.
No, not the Rashi has another word later in the Rashi. Mm. Well, do you see the third line in Rashi?
Pearl line.
Is that pearls? Mm. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, the man is selling jewelry. Asai hahi isasa, the top of Tesamad Aleph, and along comes a woman, and Amralei, and she says, Tim, havli chad, shucha. So she says, okay, let me have a necklace. She asks for some jewelry. Amrala, so our jeweler is taken by this woman, by the customer, and wants to turn the customer into a wife. So he says to her, the man's brilliant. So he says, look, how about this? The transaction will be really simple. I'll give you the necklace, but then I want you to be mekadesh me. So Amrala, so her response is, hava mi hava. Give it to me. Now you inserted the correct,
right.
I think the correct tone to her response. Right, give it to me, meaning just give it to me. Like okay, get real. This is, you know. Right, we're not. This relationship is not going beyond merchant and customer. That's it. So I'm Rav Chama. Kol hava mi hava lav klamu. And Rav Chama says that's exactly the right way to understand it. It's simply not an acceptance of kedushin. Gemara is going to give two more examples. Oh, the next two examples are going to be extraordinarily similar to the first example. A man was drinking in a market. Okay, to give a somewhat more of a crass visualization, they're at a bar. So the woman comes along and says, I'd love a cup of wine myself. And no problem, I'll buy you a drink, but I'll buy you a drink and I want to be mekadesh you. Okay, I know, I also did not expect a pickup line at a bar coming in the form of the Gemara. I did not expect that either. Okay, but here you have it. But it's a little bit more than a pickup line, though. However, it's a proposition for marriage. Okay, good. So, Amrlei, Ashkuye Ashkaya. So, once again, her response is, give me the drink. And again, the tone is just give me the drink. Right, let's not turn this into anything more than that. Amrav Chama, Kolashkoy Ashkai, and Lav Klamu. And again, Rav Chama's understanding is that her words just simply mean, just give me the drink. No, this is not going to be a marriage. There's not going to be a third case. So just hold your question. Wait one more case, ask the question, and then I will tell you I don't know. So the Hau Gavra. Okay. How gavra da kasha de tamra medikla, man was taking dates off of a palm tree. I'll say, this is how long comes a woman, Amalei, shadili tarte. She asked for two dates. Yes, I can insert over here a terrible pun in terms of exactly what his response is, but Amalei, I'll just move on. Amalei, shadin lach mekadesh asli. So once again, he says, yes, I'll give you the two dates, but with the proposition that you accept those two dates as kesef of kedushin. Amalei, shadim mish. And she says, just throw me the dates, meaning a no. Again, it's understood, and the Gemara says it out. Amar Zvid, Kol Shadim Mishtei Lav Klomu, and Rav Zvid says if she's not accepting the Kesef Kedushin, she's basically saying just throw me the dates.
It would have been accepted though if she answered differently.
Now that's exactly the Gemara's next point. Okay, Ibai Lahu. Now the Gemara wants to know. Now let's say she didn't use the double language, because you'll notice in all three cases she used the double language and Hava Mihava. The sorry, Ashkuya Ashkan, right, Shade Mishde, and all them the double language. The double language is basically the proper tone to give it is just give me the drink, just throw me the dates, right? Just give me the jewelry. Meaning that's the correct tone to understand it, which means that she's not interested in marriage. The Gemara now wants to know, but what if her answer came without what we would call the sarcasm? Let's say she would have said, Ibai Lahu, Hav, Ashke, Ushidi. She just simply said it one time. So now, does that change the tone of her answer? Mahu. Amravina Makudeshut Rafsama Barakta Amar Taga Damalka. He swears by the crown of the king. An interesting language. That's how Rashi explains it. But either way, Enema Kedushin. He says that the Kedushin is not going to be about Kedushin. So here, Machlokas Amarayim, as to how to understand her tone and whether her tone is compliance or still sarcasm / rejection. The Gemara concludes on this and many of the other discussions that we had earlier in the last daf and a half of Gemara. So the Gemara says, the halach is... So halacha number one, that in this scenario the kedushin is not going to be a valid kedushin, even if she didn't have the double language, which clearly has a sarcastic tone to it, even if she only uses a single language of give me the jewelry, give me the drink, give me the dates, still it's not, that's not her agreeing to the marriage. That's number one. Number two, halachasa shirai lo tzricha shuma, when he gives her silk, so there does not need an appraisal. You remember in yesterday's daf, we had a machlok between Rabbi and Rav Yosef whether an appraisal was necessary or not. The Gemara says the halach is an appraisal is not necessary. And number three, Hilchasa Kareb Elazar, we discussed also a short day ago that he's mekasher with a mana, but he only drops down a single dinar and he owes her now the remaining 99. So we learned, Rabbi Elazar taught us that the Kedushin is valid, but the remaining 99 becomes now the Tanai in order to complete the Kedushin. But the Kedushin is effective the moment he drops the first dinar. The Gemara says that's the halacha. And finally, Hilchasa Karava, Amar Rav Nachman. And the fourth point which the Gemara finishes the staccato is that the halacha is like Rav Amar Rav Nachman, who said earlier that if a man promises woman money, doesn't have the money to give her, gives her a mashkun, gives her collateral. So the response of the Gemara was, according to Rava in the name of Rav Nachman, it's not good. Mamon ain't kan, mashkun ain't kan. The Gemara right now says that's in fact the halacha.
By the way, the Tosfos, the second Tosfos says, why the one in all three cases,
Okay, yeah, right. Right, you might have think that eating and drinking will be different than the jewelry and okay.
Because usually the Gemara was asked, why didn't
you? Agreed. That normally is the style of the Gemara. Absolutely agreed. Tanu Rabbanu, we are now continuing on Tes Amud Aleph. We're halfway down the Amud, the two dots. Bishtar Ketzad. Okay, a lot of time we're dedicating the Gemara to Kedushay Kesef, and now we move on to Kedushay Shtar. A man's mekash with a shtar, and how does that happen? So here the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa gives detail. Bishtar Ketzad, how does it work? Kasev lo al haniyar o al hacheres. You can write it on paper, you can write it on pottery, on earthenware. Alpha pishen bo shevapruta, and it does not have to be a shevapruta. You remember one of the first Rashis in the Masechta, a week and a half ago we learned, Rashi there said that a shtar can be written on something which is not a shevapruta. There's a discussion, what if the paper itself is a shevapruta? Can that paper itself serve as kesef kedushin? Okay. Anyway, but let's keep it simple right now. The paper, the cheres hazana, is not worth a shevapruta. And he writes, bitcha mekudeshesli, bitcha meresesli, bitcha lili insu, your daughter. Rashi points out over here, obviously the shtar has been given to the father, and obviously the daughter in question over here is either a katana or she's a nara. She's under the jurisdiction of the father. Hareze mekudeshes, all these are valid forms of kedushin. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Maskev la revzer b'marma halodami haishtara lishtar zvini. The Gemara over here makes a general observation, and a really good one. And that is, this is not normally how contracts work. Contracts is given from whom to whom. Let's talk about a normal transaction between two parties, and let's talk about the sale of property. Who's writing the contract for whom?
Seller
is generally writing the contract to the buyer. Yeah. And the contract reads something along the lines of, I sold you my property. Right? That's normally how it does. So a seller is selling to the buyer. Now, in the marriage between a man and a woman, who is the seller, who is the buyer? The woman is the seller. The woman is selling herself. The man is the buyer. Or the father of the girl, either way.
Right.
But in other words, the woman is the seller, and the man is the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Who is writing the contract for whom? The buyer is writing the contract for a seller. So the Gemara over here is just making an outstanding observation that the direction of the contract in marriage goes exactly the opposite as it would normally in a regular transaction. And essentially what the Gemara wants to know is why should that be? So, let's go back inside. Hashtar l'shtar zvini. Hasa mochi kosev lo. Sadi mechura lach. Hacha mal kosev bitcha mekadeshet li. Okay, so it's an observation. I mean, really what we're going to do with this observation is just simply observe, because this is in fact the halacha. But can we give some sort of explanation in terms of why that should be? So Amar Rava, Hasa Minyana Dekra, V'Hacha Minyana Dekra. So Rava says, well, look at the times in the Torah where it discusses a transaction of property. Look at the time in the Torah where it talks about a transaction of marriage. And you'll see that it really speaks to which direction it should go to. Hasam Ksiv Umachar Me'achuzaso. So he sells. So the focus of a sale of land is going on the mocher, on the seller. That's why he is authoring the contract. But meanwhile, when the Torah describes marriage, so who's in the driver's seat of marriage? It's the husband. So even though he's quote-unquote the buyer, but the Torah describes it from his perspective. That's why he's going to be the author of the contract. So hasam namik siv sadus bekasiv yiknu. So the Gemara says, okay, but if we're looking at Psukim, doesn't the Torah also say, now here, that it's not a quote from the Torah, it's a quote from the Navi, but okay, but it's Tanakh, and doesn't it say, Sados because of Yiknu? The Navi describes how you're going to be buying property. So you see the Navi describe it from the perspective of the buyer, not just the seller. Kari Bei Yikanu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you could read it as Yikanu, meaning, I'm not sure if my grammar is perfect over here, but basically you could turn it from a action to a causation. So, my taima, kari be yikanu, mishum dichsiv umacha. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're ready to give a different pronunciation to the word in the Navi because of the word in the Chumash. Hachanami kari be ki yikach, dichsiv is biti nasat lisha zeh. So, you know what? We could do the same thing with Ki Yikach when it comes to marriage. We have another pasuk in the Torah that describes marriage from the perspective of the father of the girl, which means the girl's side. And the Torah says, "It's bitina satli shazeh. I gave over this my daughter to so and so." So you see that one place in the Torah describes marriage from the perspective of her and her father, and not from him. So, just like you were ready to tease and manipulate a word in one place because of another place, so why don't we do the same thing over here? So the Gemara says, ultimately, when all said and done, we're going to file this under Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Meaning, why is the contract in general go from authored from the seller to the buyer? Because that's the way the Torah dictates. And why by marriage is it going from the husband to the wife, where he's a buyer and she's a seller? Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That's answer number one. The psukim asmachta. The Gemara says he by same. The Gemara says, or let's go about it in another approach, which is hasam na miksiva kachet sefer mikna. Also, when it comes to the Navi in Yirmiyahu, the Torah there describes that kachet sefer mikna. I'm going to take the sefer hamikna. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi gives a little context to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Rashi writes, "Gam bishtar zvinik siva kachet sefer hamikna alma hamocher nachnu lelokeach." From that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it's pretty clear that the seller is the one writing up the contract, giving it to the buyer. Yirmiyahu in that scenario was a buyer. And Miyad Chanamel. And he bought it from a personality over there in the Navi by the name of Chanamel. Ama mocher kosev sadi mechur lach. V'nosim ya lokech avahacha ki ikach tziv. Good. So another... It's just, without having to just simply say Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you could also make another argument where, if you look at the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, it's pretty clear that the seller is the one authoring the contract. Let's continue. We are in the Gemara on Testament Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rav Nachman, Kasav lo ala niyar ol acher safa pishem b'shava pruta, bitcha mekadeshlesli, bitcha meresesli, bitcha lili into, bein al yidei avia, bein al yidei atzma, mekudeshes midato. V'hu shelo bagra. So he can mekadesh it with his das, and this is only when she did not become a Bogeris. As long as she's not a Bogeris, she's under the jurisdiction of her father, and as long as her father is a willing participant, the father will speak on behalf of his daughter. Okay. And when do you need her das? That's as long as she becomes a bageris. Once she's a bageris, you need her das. So what's her father doing? Rashi points that over here. Her father is going to now be serving the role as her shliach. Right, because her father is no longer accepting the kedushin on her behalf, because she's not under the jurisdiction of her father anymore. She's a bageris, but the father could still participate as her shliach. So, what if you write up the star Erisin, but you write it Shalol Lashma? In other words, you have made the following decision, life decision. And I'm not saying it's a good one, but you made the following life decision. I'm going to marry a girl named Sarah. Okay, that's all I know in my life. It's a funny way to run your life, but fine. And you write a star Kiddushin, and you say, you, Sarah, are going to be married to me. Okay, wonderful. And now he looks around the world and he finds the Sarah of his dreams. And he hands her the document. So the document was not written Lishma. He did not know that this was going to be the Sarah when he wrote it. He just simply wrote the name Sarah. Okay. Good or no good? So now what do we learn by Gittin? So over and over again throughout Masechta Gittin we learned that that's not good. When a get is written, it has to be written Lishma. You have to know who the man is and who the woman is when you write the get. And a failure of Lishma is going to be just a simple rejection of the get. The get's not going to be good. So it's a basic requirement in the writing of a get. So now when we're talking about Shtar Kiddushin, does it operate on the same principle of Lishma? That's the Gemara's question. Mahu avai letzia makshinan. So the Gemara says, are we going to go back to our hekesh that we've quoted a number of times already in our very own Masechta? So, and the hekesh goes like this: Ma yitzia bein lishma, af havaya bein lishma. Just like the yitzia requires lishma, so too the havaya requires lishma as well. O dilma havaya sladad de makshina. Ma havaya de kesav lo bein lishma, af havaya de shtar lo bein lishma. Or maybe no. The havaya of kesef doesn't require lishma. Meaning, as Rashi points out over here, when you mint a coin in order to give to a girl, you don't have to mint it for her, right? Very often the U.S. Mint does this. They mint, you know, for this or for that. So the not the currency, but you know, special coins. So over here, do you think that when you give a coin over to a woman, you have to mint it with her in mind? Of course not. So, afavaya d'shtar lo bayin l'shma. So maybe the same thing is true regarding the kedushin of a shtar. Or once again, we're going to go back to the hekesh of v'yatsa v'haisa, which tells us that the get has to be l'shma, and so does the shtar kedushin. So which we have competing hekeshim, if you will. Which one is going to take the lead? Basa d'baya hadapashta havaya letzia makshinan damakra v'yatsa v'haisa. And then the Gemara says, we ask the question, but then the answer goes like this. The hekesh between marriage and divorce. Meaning, divorce basically serves as a template for what a contract is. A contract, by definition, has to be lishma. You have to know it's for this husband and for this woman that the get's being written. Same thing is true on the entrance. When you're using shtar as the mechanism in which you're going to marry a woman, it has to be lishma. You have to know that it's you, and specifically not any Sarah, but that particular Sarah. Okay. Itmar, the Gemara continues, Kisvu, Lishma, Vishalami Data. So let's say you write Lishma, but you just simply didn't tell her yet. Okay, so you've identified the woman of your dreams, and you wrote up the Shtar Kiddushin, but just one small detail. And that is, you haven't told her yet that she is going to be your wife. And so you now presented her with the Shah Kedushin. Now let's say, of course, in order to entertain this question, let's say she says yes. But at the time when you wrote it, you didn't tell her that she was going to be your wife. And she didn't agree as of yet. So does that work, yes or no? So the Gemara here has a machlokas. And the Gemara goes on to explain. So he says, I'll explain my position, I'll explain your position. Once again, let's start from our template. Our template for how a star works is the get. Now, the get is written by the husband. Now, we've said this over a number of times in Masechta Gittin, you don't need the das of the woman. A woman is nitzgaresh balkarcha, against her will. Okay, there's a takana of Rabbi Gershom where we don't do that anymore, but according to the Torah, that's how it works. So now, once that serves as your template, so now let's move it out to our scenario over here. Now we're going to use a shtar for kedushin. So the template teaches us, you have to write it, you have to know which one is in mind, but you don't need her acquiescence at the time when you're writing it. Now it's interesting because, obviously in order to enter into the marriage, you need her to agree. You can't marry somebody against her will, but we're talking about simply the writing of the contract. It doesn't need her approval at the time, doesn't need her consent at the time when you're writing it up. Okay, that's one argument. But the Gemara says, "Ve'ema time adidi v'yatzav ha'isa mekishav ha'yitzia ma'yitzia be'inan das makna afavaya be'inan das makna." On the other hand, once again, you could still stay with the same basic structure and argue slightly differently. What do we know by get? What you know by get is that the makna is writing it with his consent. Who's the makna in the case of the get? The husband. The husband now is releasing his wife. He is the one that is instrumental in creating the kinyan for the other party. That's the husband. In the case of marriage, who's the makna? The woman's the makna. Like we discussed just about 10 minutes ago. The way the marriage works is that she's the seller, he's the buyer. She's the makna, he's the one who's being kona. So, just like in the case of get, the das makna is essential for the get to work. In the case of the get, the husband's the makna. In the case of marriage, she's the makna. So therefore, it has to be done with her consent. So, we have basically now asked the question of, does she need to know that she is being identified as the wife while writing the get? Or can you write it for her and then just tell her afterwards? The Gemara has now a machlokas, and the Gemara now is going to conclude. The Gemara is not going to conclude. Meitzvah, the Gemara is going to challenge. You only write the shtar erusin and nesuin, but only with the consent of both parties. Okay. Now, my lav shtar erusin v'nesuin mamish. Now, the brisa certainly sounds like it's talking about contracts that deal with the first stage of marriage and the second stage of marriage. Now, the first stage of marriage is a shtar erusin, which is what we're talking about. Certainly sounds like from the brisa, if we're right, that you need the consent of both parties, both the husband and the wife, when writing up the shtar erusin. And that would seemingly now lead us to the conclusion that you need her consent before actually writing the shtar erusin. So the Gemara says, lo. Shtare psikta. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about the Tanaim. The Tanaim, back in the good old days, when before a man and woman got married, so the families would come make an agreement, a financial agreement, of how much each family is going to contribute into the marriage, to jumpstart their marriage. And the husband's family says, I'll give this much, the wife's family says, I'll give this much, and they come to an agreement. And nowadays, it's ceremonial. I mean, it's done, but in other words, it's a standardized form. It just basically says that they're both in agreement to whatever they agree to. Okay, it's not like in the good old days. In the good old days, the shtar tanaim sometimes got contentious. The Gemara, in fact, says that it almost always result in some sort of arguing. I mean, you're arguing over money, so it's negotiation. The Gemara says that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the shtari psikta. We're not talking about the shtari erusin. Shtari psikta, so that needs a consent on both parties. And of course it does. Because each party is saying how much they're going to contribute into the marriage. It's not going to work unless you have consent on both parties. So each family now is dedicating how much they're going to give to their son. So the parents of the groom are saying, we're going to give this much. The parents of the bride are saying, we're going to give this much. Amdu v'kiddushu. And then after that, kiddushin. Kanu. And through the act of kiddushin, that also ratifies the agreement between both families. Hein hein advarim haniknim ba'amira. And even though a kinyan normally needs to be done with a formal action, mishicha, chalipin, sudar, something that formally ratifies, this is the kind of thing that can be done with just a simple verbal agreement ratified by the marriage of the children. The marriage of the children creates the ratification of this agreement. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rashi says, Be'amira, Rashi, right where we are in the Gemara, below Kinyan, Sha'kedushin hein Gemara Hadavar. So the Kedushin itself creates the Gemira. It creates the ratification. Because now everyone's happy, meaning everyone's benefiting from the fact that my son's getting married, my daughter's getting married. Right now, we would like this our offers to be verbal, not to be written down. That's all well and good. Once they get married, that creates the ratification. So the Gemara basically deflects. The Gemara says, the Braisa that you thought was talking about Shtari Erisin is not. It's only talking about the Tanayim. As far as Shtari Erisin is concerned, the question is left open-ended. Meaning that when you write up a Shtari Erisin, do you need her consent? You have to know who it is. That the Gemara says is, even though we opened up the question, the Gemara concluded earlier that you have to know who it is. That's not open for discussion. What is open for discussion is do you have to tell her before you write it, and do you need her consent before you actually write it down? By get, you need the consent of the makne. By shtari erisin, do you need the consent of the makne? She's the makne, not him. The Gemara has a machlokas on that issue. So the okay. All right. Well, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the source in the Torah for kedushin with bia. Okay, that'll leave us for tomorrow. Just a quick recap. Today we ended off a number of questions regarding kedusha kesef. A lot of the Gemara today was dedicated to understanding a response that she gives to the proposition of kedusha kesef, where she doesn't just simply accept the money, but she does something with the money, redirects the money to another address, gives a sarcastic response as to the proposition. So many different questions in terms of where it was not just a simple acceptance of the Kesef Kedushin. The Gemara goes on to contrast to discuss the Kedushin Bishtar, contrasting a Shtar Mecher versus a Shtar Kedushin, and noting that the direction of the Shtar is different from a regular commercial transaction to that of a marriage. The Gemara ends off basically saying, Allah Moshe Misinai, meaning why should that be? It is. That's just simply part of the Torah's instructions. And then we ended off today discussing how connected is the Shtar Erisin to the Shtar Get. The Shtar Get certainly is the template for the Shtar Erisin, but how far are we going to go? Do you need Lishma? The answer is yes. Do you need Lishma even before you write it? That's an open-ended question of the Gemara.